October 5th, my mother, Margaret Longworth, passed away. People say she's in a better place. Why did they say that? How do we know? Can we be sure? I believe that my mom is in heaven, but not because she lived a good enough life to earn her way into heaven. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short. She's in heaven because she repented of her sins and trusted Jesus for salvation. Join me today in doing the same.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Longworth.
The message that I would like to bring today is actually a tribute to my wife, Margaret Smith Longworth, who changed her address 2 weeks ago today from Earth to a place that has streets of gold. And I envy her in that respect. But I would like to give you just a little bit of background before I get into how and where we met and go from there. I have one brother, and I had one sister. She has gone, Hazel, has gone on to be with the Lord and joined her husband, Dan, and a stillborn baby that they had. Hazel had gotten married to Dan, and my brother, Howard, was living with my mom, and my dad and mom, since Hazel had gotten married, my dad and mom had finally separated. They never did divorce, but they separated, and my dad was living in a different place from where mom and Howard were. And so there wasn't really any place that felt like home for me anymore. And I had left Bible school and had lost my draft deferment, and I was concerned about the fact that Vietnam had already started a couple years before that, and I knew that I didn't want to go to Vietnam, and so I joined the Air Force, and the recruiter sold me a bill of goods and told me that, you know, they have a quota to make each month. And he told me if I didn't get in that month, which was December of 1961, he said if I didn't get in then, that he couldn't guarantee my getting in until March of the following year. And so I joined the Air Force. And I spent Christmas and New Year's in boot camp. And after I finally got out of the Air Force, or after I got out of boot camp, they wanted me to go into the Air Force medical training. I did that. And they would have sent me to Bethesda, Maryland to train in physical therapy, but it was in the middle of a class, so they decided to send me on-the-job training, and they gave me a choice of two career fields or two duty stations. One of them was in Missouri, out in the boondocks, at old run-down wooden barracks, from what I could find out, and it didn't sound at all interesting. And the other one was 10 miles from home. I had wanted to do some traveling, but God had other plans, and I thank Him for that. After I settled in Fairborn, Ohio, stationed at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. My cousin Larry and I decided to start a rock band, and we, Larry played lead guitar, I played rhythm guitar, we had a keyboard player, and we had a guy that played saxophone for us, and for about 2 years of my enlistment, that's pretty much the way it was. And I found out later that a lot of the places we used to hang out, the bars and the clubs where we used to hang out when we weren't performing, that every weekend they brought in people to the emergency room at Grandview Hospital, where I began to work part-time on the weekends. They brought in people that had been shot or stabbed or cut up with a beer bottle at some of these places where we used to hang out. And it was only the mercy of God, the grace of God, that kept me and that protected me. I thank him for that. At some point along there, I rededicated my life to the Lord and began to go to church more often and to earnestly seek the Lord. And my cousin Larry thought, you know, this is just a fad. And he said, I'll give him 6 months to be back in the world doing the things he used to do. And when he saw that that wasn't going to happen, then he rededicated his life to the Lord. And one of the guys that had played saxophone for the rock band, he rededicated his life to the Lord, and we picked up another singer, Mike Bridges, and then there was a girl that Larry was dating. We were in the Nazarene church at that time. There was a girl that Larry was dating named Brenda Callahan, and she did a very good job of playing quartet style piano, and so we formed a gospel quartet that was called the King's Messengers. And that's actually what worked for me to actually meet Margaret, my wife, and to start seeing her and dating her. We decided, once we got started as a gospel quartet, we decided that we would pretty much go anywhere that we were invited to, any churches or church-related groups that invited us to come and sing. And that's what we did. The Nazarene church that I attended and that Larry was attending at that time, the Nazarene church was down the hill from, I'd say maybe an eighth to a quarter of a mile down the hill from Fairborn Church of God. And at Fairborn Church of God, Margaret was the pianist for the youth choir, and she had attended there for some time. Her mother attended there. And so we were invited to come and sing at their church. And we did so, and I met Margaret, and shortly after that, I started dating her. The first actual date that we had was we traveled from Fairborn down to Cincinnati and went to the Cincinnati Zoo. And it was on 4th of July, I believe, or close to 4th of July. And we were on the way there, and we stopped at a little diner and got a bite to eat. And they had a jukebox. And this, it may sound like I was crazy or out of my mind, but I looked through the songs on the jukebox, and the only one that I was really familiar with was called Love's Going to Live Here Again. And that's the song that I played. And that sounds pretty bold. It may even sound a little stupid, but that's what I played, and that was the beginning of something very special. Margaret has a very unique testimony. When she was 14 years old, they were still living in Kentucky, in Whitesburg, Kentucky. She was born in Bellcraft, which is a suburb of Whitesburg and a coal mining area. But she, there was a very popular gospel singer by the name of Molly O'Day, and she and her husband came to Whitesburg Courthouse, and they held a series of services there. And Margaret attended when she was 14 years old, and she is the only person that I know of that I've ever met that actually received, she was saved and filled with the Holy Spirit the same trip to the altar. And from that time on, you know, she had known about the ways of the Lord before that, but that was when the Lord really got a hold of her heart. And from then on, it was keeps for her. And she was very serious about that. Her brother James, her oldest brother James, was an accountant like Joshua has become. Joshua's Brian and Jessica's son, my grandson. And James used to do Margaret's taxes, and James became very curious and also very admiring of Margaret because of the fact that she paid tithes on a regular basis. She worked at a trucking company, and some of the guys that worked there were pretty rough. She had a cousin that teased her a lot and that actually used some very suggestive language around her, but she stayed true to the Lord, and we continued dating. And you know, she was a person of real integrity. There's no doubt about that. While we were dating, you know, sometimes I would give her a kiss and I would tell her that I loved her. And she would not, for a while, she would not commit to the same for me. She would say, I'm glad, or something like that. But she didn't say, I love you too, because she was praying and she wanted to know for sure that I was the one that God had designed for her for life. And that's just the way she was. She was very dedicated and very serious about spiritual things. And so one of the things that we were really concerned about was where we were going to attend church if we did get married. And I was pretty much convinced that she was going to, that I would persuade her to become a part of the Nazarene Church. But she was part of the Church of God, Pentecostal. And by the way, I'll just mention to you that we, growing up, we had heard all kinds of, Larry and I especially, I guess, had heard all kinds of crazy stories about Pentecostals and holy rollers, as they were called. And we were warned not to go to a Pentecostal church, but we had already, like I said, we'd already agreed that we were going to go where the Lord led us and where we were invited to go. And so we were praying about what church that we would be a part of if we did get together permanently, if we did marry. And so I say that Margaret cheated, but she really didn't. She started fasting her lunch hours and praying earnestly that the Lord would lead us in this respect. And one Sunday morning at the Nazarene Church, we had a guest speaker, and he preached a sermon that I don't know what it said to other people, but to me, the Lord spoke to me that morning and basically told me it was time to leave the Nazarene Church and to start attending the Pentecostal Church, the Church of God. And so that's what I did. And one thing that kind of helped, you've heard the saying that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Well, one thing that helped out was the fact that Margaret's dad bought a bunch of rib steaks, and they froze them. And just about every time that I would go over to visit Margaret and she knew I was coming, she would fix herself and me each a rib steak, a baked potato, and a salad. And I can say for sure that that didn't hinder our relationship at all. It was something special. But also, after we got married, it seemed like you couldn't find a rib steak within 5 miles of where they lived. But that was something that played into our relationship. In February of 1966, on the 5th of February, Margaret and I were married in the Fairborn Church of God. Roy Nash, who was the Nazarene pastor, graciously accepted the invitation to pray at our wedding. And the wedding was conducted by Ansel Carter, who was the pastor of the Church of God, and his wife Donna led the youth choir, and their daughter Susie, she played the piano, especially after we got married. She more and more she played the piano for the youth choir, and my cousin Larry and Susie ended up being married and had three children, I believe, two girls and one boy. And they are blessed today. Susie and Larry is no longer with us. Larry actually drowned a few months back. But I thank God for all the blessings that came through his life. And Margaret was truly an incredible person. I didn't really give her the credit that she deserved. And she was, I don't know of anyone that came any closer to being a modern day Proverbs 31 woman. When she was in her 40s, she went to IRCC, then it was Indian River Community College. Since that time, it's become Indian River State College. And then at the end of that time, when she had her associate degree, she transferred to FAU, Florida Atlantic, in Boca, and completed her bachelor's degree. And she did so well that they offered her a scholarship for her master's, working on her master's degree. And she was able even to, they even paid for her books. And she became an excellent teacher. She's always been a better teacher than I am. And she became part of the hand-picked group called Florida League of Teachers, that is 100 teachers across the state of Florida that are chosen to tour and to make different observations about other schools and so on. She just excelled at whatever she did, and things did not always come easy for Margaret. She, like I said, she was a pianist, and she worked very hard to learn piano playing, and she always felt a little self-conscious about singing in public because her younger sister Kathy had a lot of natural talent in that area, and Margaret was always concerned that she might go flat or be a little off key, but I thought she did great. And there were just so many things in her life. She didn't go shopping all that often, but when she did shop for clothes, I don't have enough fingers and toes to count the times that she came home with a shirt or two that she had bought for me, something she had bought for the boys. And, you know, we had two boys. We have four grandchildren, and she has been fiercely loyal to all of us and very proud of her boys and proud of her grandchildren and their accomplishments. And when she would come back from a shopping trip many times, she had something for me, like I said, and something for the boys. But she may have not bought anything for herself. And she'd say, well, I couldn't find anything that I really liked, or I didn't find something. But that was just the way she was. She was amazing. When she left this world, heaven received a pearl of great price when she showed up there. I would like, there's a lot more that I could share about her, but I'm out of time. So I will say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Sunday, October 5th, my mother, Margaret Longworth, passed away. People say she's in a better place. Why did they say that? How do we know? Can we be sure? I believe that my mom is in heaven, but not because she lived a good enough life to earn her way into heaven. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short. She's in heaven because she repented of her sins and trusted Jesus for salvation. Join me today in doing the same.
Tune in to Torah Life Ministries with Paul Neeson, airing daily Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. and p.m., and also heard each Saturday at 12 noon.
The civil government does not define your ethic as a Christian. That's critical that we understand that, and now maybe people will become more and more awakened to that.
Hi, this is R.C. Sproul, and I hope that you are listening to Renewing Your Mind on this station every day.
Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. and p.m. on WCNO.
Greetings. We invite you to join the Word of Truth International Ministry with Pastor Richard and Lucy Pope every Saturday at 8 a.m. as we break the bread of life and teach the Word of God right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
They're so bad I thought of the dark.